Praise the Lord. Glorified be the name of our God, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. I'd like to start this morning Bible study with a quick prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the four seasons, as I commonly say. And Lord, we will worship you and we will be glad and we will rejoice this day, Lord, that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, also for this beautiful house. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here and be ourselves and be comfortable and find healing, find peace, find joy, fulfillment. Thank you, Lord, so much. And Lord, I pray that everyone's mind and ears will be open to what the Spirit is saying to them this morning. And as I always say, Lord, may your people hear you. May they experience you. May they hear your voice and not mine. Be glorified, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I prepare a sermon for Tuesday morning, in the back of my mind, I automatically think about the theme of Tuesday morning services, which is how to keep you healing. And what I have concluded over the course of time is that a way to keep your healing manifests itself in many different ways. There are many things that we should do to, quote-unquote, keep your healing. But not just simply keep your healing, but also keep your blessing. Because, after all, health is a blessing. Your life is a blessing. Just the fact that you woke up this morning and you opened your eyes, and your lungs are working, and your heart is pumping blood, your heart is beating. You have a sound mind. You can think straight. By all means, this is a blessing. You know? So, there are times in our lives where we might be in association with something that is against God's word. We might entangle ourselves against someone who the Lord did not have in mind, so therefore that brings us down, that steals our blessing, that steals our peace, between several other things. Sometimes we do or say things, participate, join certain things that we're not supposed to, which grieves the Holy Spirit. And all these things could take away things like your health, could take away your blessing. And so, in the morning, in the Tuesday morning service, how to keak your healing, I also speak about things that are somewhat indirect to health. I speak about spiritual growth. I speak about being an overcomer. Last week I spoke about the mind, your mind. It all starts with the way that you think. Setting your mind in the right beacon, in the right direction, right? These are all things that will maintain, that will keep our blessing, that will keep our health. This morning, I want to speak about familiar spirits. This is not a topic that I speak about often. The title to this morning's service is Beware of Familiar Spirits, which all of us, once upon a time, have experienced, or we still experience, whether you're here present in church or you're listening to this online on the podcast. Familiar spirits are not a good thing. And you have to be able to discern what is a familiar spirit and what is not. And one sure way to be able to discern is by knowing the Word of God. is by knowing the nature of God and what contradicts between what the Spirit is putting and setting in your mind and what the Word of God says. We stand on the Word of God, yes. This is our foundation. This is home. This is zero. So, let's go ahead and start with our opening verse here. I'm going to show you something here that's found in the book of Job. And we're going to cover a chunk of verses. We're going to go to Job chapter 4. If you could turn with me to Job chapter 4, and we're going to start in verses 12. All right. And we're going to cover verses 12 through 21. I'm going to give you just a moment to turn the page. Job chapter 4. All right. Starting from verses 12 all the way to 21. Hey, look at that. Nice. Thank you. And the word of the Lord says, Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. And disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, "Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker? If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom." Some serious words there, wouldn't you say? These were words the Bible describes as a spirit. It says that the spirit has no form, that this particular spirit stood still in front of a particular individual. If you're wondering who the individual was, his name was Eliphaz, which was one of Job's friends. And this thing just showed up and had a little conversation with Eliphaz, right? Now, when we closely examine the nature of the being that troubled Job's friend, we learn that this spirit appealed to the carnal desire for a special revelation, which partakes right now on this example that we just finished reading. If we remember the content of the serpent's appeal to when the serpent came to Eve, we see somewhat a little bit of a similarity between the two, Let me bring it to your attention real quick. Genesis 3:5, please, Dion. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's a little bit of a similarity between the two tones that are being spoken right now by these two beings right there. We notice that the Spirit came at nighttime. Because in the Word of God, it says here in Job 4, around the time when men sleep at its heaviest. So it could have been, what, when do we sleep the heaviest? Between 2 and 4? Between 3 and 6? We have the heaviest of our sleep. So this happened overnight. And it also appeared in a form of a nightmare. An approach that could be characterized as intimidating or an intimidation, which is not an approach that God chooses to use with His believers. If you notice, God is the same from the Old Testament that we read about the Lord our God all the way over to the book of Revelations, which is the last book of the Bible. God doesn't change His character. God doesn't change His ways. If you remember when Paul mentioned to a letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I just preached about this Sunday night. There's no way possible that the Spirit of God, when it comes to speak to you, you're going to be frightened. You're going to be scared. You won't know what to do. Like described here by Eliphaz, the hairs on his body stood up. Not just on his arms. On his arms, his leg, I'm going to include his chest, his scalp, everywhere. Even on his toes. You know, we'll grow little hairs on our feet. His entire body, oh man, it says his bones shook. I mean, this guy was frightened. He was scared. But the Word of God also says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, no matter what. No scary cat, no doubting, no fear, but of power is the very first mention right there. Of love and of a sound mind, but first and foremost, of power. So, this couldn't have come from God. Generally in the Scriptures, when people express fear at an appearance of an angel, of an angelical being, what is one of the first things that the angel says? Or say, I should say. Fear not. Don't be scared. Right? Because imagine if maybe some of us might be overtaken by seeing an angelical being for the first time. You might even have doubts. Your doubts could turn into fear. To some of us, that's a natural reaction. I'm not putting the situation down. I'm not talking down on your character. But it's natural. And it's happened to so many people in the Bible, from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, that their natural inclination was to be fearful when they see an angelical being because they don't know what's going to happen. Man, whew. What did Jacob say? That I could have died. I've come face to face with God. And I did not die. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was quite scared once or twice there. But let me show you some example right now, starting from the beginning of the Bible, about angels, some of the first things that they say when it comes from heaven. My first example is Daniel chapter 10, verses 12. Then he said to me, whoa, first thing, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." There are several things that we can extract from this verse here. Before I get to what the angel said in the very beginning, please understand that your prayer time is very valuable. I spoke about this on Sunday morning, about the prayer chain. Take advantage of the prayer chain. Believe me when I say, things happen in the prayer chain. Big, massive things. The Lord hears it. The Lord is pleased. When we have corporate prayer, participate. Or if you're not able to come, develop a prayer habit in your own time, at home. And if in case you are already doing this, don't stop. Continue with this prayer life. Because here, clearly in the Word of God, it says, the second half here of this verse, actually going towards the end, "Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Clearly, I have come because of what came out of your mouth. "Do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you have set your heart to understand," meaning set yourself apart, "seek the face of God, know His will, go after Him, and to humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And this is why I am here." But now, going back to the main topic, the very first thing that he says to Daniel is, "Don't be scared. Fear not. Chill out. It's all good. Fear not." Let me give you another example here. Let's go now to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1, may I please have verses 13. "But the angel said to him," what's the first thing he said? "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Yes. Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Right? And now, what's the next thing that he says? "Your prayers, my guy, your prayers have been heard." Do you see now the importance of prayer? A good, healthy, strong prayer life. You know, I'm not trying to take you away from your reading time or reading the Bible. I'm not trying to take away your time from reading, you know, one of the books that we have in the back or anything like that. But please understand that when you pray, heaven is listening. The Lord is listening. It's being written. It's being jotted down in the book. And when you pray, angels come to your rescue. Angels come and bring your answer. They hand deliver it to you, right? Back to the main topic here. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. It's okay." Why would he say something like that? Because Zechariah was probably afraid. He was probably like, "What is this? What's happening? Man, am I getting ready to lose my life? I'm getting ready to be toast." Maybe some of these angels that we read in the Bible might have been holding a sword of fire. I see a sword of fire, even in real life. I'm going to be like, "Whoa, bro." Extend back at least 10 feet, right? I can feel the heat come off of that, right? An angelical being is probably going to have an aura. It's going to have a presence. That's going to get you a little bit rattled, right? Like, whoa. So it's natural. Zechariah was probably afraid. And the first thing he says is, "Don't be afraid." Now moving on to verses 30, please. Check out what he says to... Here, verses 30. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Again, in the same chapter, chapter 1, but now moving on to verses 30, he says the same thing now to a woman. We spoke about Daniel, we spoke about Zechariah, and now we're talking about Mary. Mary was someone who probably was a little bit afraid too. These are some of the first words that the angels say. My final example here for this morning, I thought about including a few more, but right now, let's just go to the book of Revelations, Revelations 1:17, which says these words, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Ooh. Man, I'm praying for this hand to touch me. I am praying for this hand. No, seriously. As the Lord is my witness, who I stand in front of every single day, I pray frequently for this hand to touch me, for this hand to touch my lips, for this hand to touch my mind. Imagine the Lord coming and standing in front of you. I would do the same thing. I know I could not stare in his face unless if he gives me enough, the ability to do so. In John's case here, it overwhelmed him. He fell flat on his face. Like, I died right now, bro. Like, straight up. And then he touched me. And all of a sudden, I was able to receive the glory. I was able to perceive the glory of my God. And the Lord himself reveals who he was right then and there. This is not an angel now. "I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty." But do you notice the common denominator here, aside from a healthy, strong prayer life? Because here, in Revelations 1, I think it's around either verses 4 or verses 6 that says, "In that day, I was in the Spirit meditating." Meaning, he was praying. So there is actually a common denominator here of prayer. But what I want to focus on is the fact that every single person says, "Do not fear." Yet, this elusive being in Job chapter 4 prefers to remain obscure. It prefers to remain daunting. Something that is very unusual throughout the Word of God. From the Old Testament all the way to the New. It's been commonly translated, spoken about, commentaries written stating that this was the Spirit of God, that this was an angel of God, and all of this. Well, as we can quickly see, that's not the case at all. We also observe that this Spirit's message begins, do you notice that it begins with an accusation? Who is the accuser? Satan, the enemy. This is a technique that is always described by someone of evil nature, evil intentions. Someone who is always accusing, someone who is always finding fault, someone who is always giving blame, is someone that is not possessed by the Spirit of God. This is something that originates from the evil one. And right away in the very beginning of Job 4 here, in verses 12, it starts out with an accusation. And all of this comes from the enemy, as seen in Revelations 12:10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" The enemy makes accusations for us every single day, in the morning, on through the afternoon, on through the night, bringing accusations of you and I to towards the throne of God. You see why now it's very important for us to live a righteous life, a humble life. We must watch what we say. We must watch what we do. We must watch our actions. Because the enemy can easily grab all of this and bring like, see here, see what they did, see what they said, you see their nature, you see. And sometimes this is how we are able to lose our healing. This is still how to keep your healing service. This is how we can lose our blessing. This sometimes is how we miss out on opportunities in life. Because the accuser now is saying, well, your word says this, this, and this. And they did this, this, and this. And furthermore, they did not ask for forgiveness. They did not repent. They are still in that rut and that mire. Now, what's the Lord going to do? Is the Lord going to obey His word far above His name? The word of the Lord says He's going to do that. So please keep in mind that there is an accuser always after you. And this is important for us to be in the Word of God. For us to have a healthy prayer life. For us to watch and pray. The Bible doesn't say pray and watch. It says watch and then pray. And in the beginning here of Job 4, the first thing that come out are accusations. The being insinuates that God does not trust angels. What? However, we understand that God often entrusts His word and also heavy responsibilities on His angels. Right? Wasn't it an angel that came to speak to Daniel? It says, I have been sent to you from the moment you decided to search understanding and humble yourself before the Lord. I was sent to you because of your words. This is an angel now. So how can this make any sense? If this spirit is so sensitive about God's charging some of His angels with folly, it is perhaps that this message came from one of the rebellious angels who followed the enemy. It could only be. It is no wonder this evil spirit had bitterness in itself. It is no wonder that this evil spirit had animosity against God and animosity against mankind, calling them nothing, that they die before the moth, and they're useless and they're no good. They are irrelevant. Do you think that you are better than God? Higher understanding, better than your maker, and all these things. Pure animosity, pure bitterness. In several places, the Bible denies the assertions that these demons make. And in fact, our Lord God Almighty has trusted His church. Has trusted, and who is His church? Human beings. We are His church, and He has entrusted us with the mandate to carry His priceless gospel throughout the world. He has entrusted you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He has entrusted you to carry His word, to carry His plan, to speak the salvation, to give a message, to preach the gospel, every single one of us. As for no one observing when a person perishes, we are assured, folks, we are assured by our Lord Himself that no human being ever dies without God being mindful of that. Please understand. Sometimes it's very easy for us to not understand why this particular tragedy happened. Why did that happen? Some people say it's unfair. It's unjust. But by all means, please know that God is very meticulous. We serve a meticulous God. And He keeps meticulous records of all the falling sparrows, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The Lord knows. The Lord knows 100%. He keeps very close track of the deaths of His saints, of you and I. And also, did you know that He regards this as being precious? He regards it as a precious thing when a saint goes to heaven. It's very easy for us to look at death as something so, oh, I don't want to die. Lord, please deliver me from this. You know, pastor, pray. Brother, sister, pray. And reverse and all of this. Let's not look at it this way. Yes, the Lord receives glory in everything. You might be going through a situation right now to where it is God's will to see you through the situation. It is God's will for you to recover, for you to not go through this or that. And at the end of the day, He will receive the most glory. But also know the fact that the angels receive every single one of you, and heaven receives every single one of you and us when we go to heaven. And the Lord rejoices when we are with Him. Let me bring to your attention right now Psalms 116, 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. No need for the Greek interpretation. Don't need to break it down. This is pretty much straightforward, wouldn't you say? Precious in the sight of the Lord are those who go to be with Him in heaven forever. Praise God. Folks, our God does not aim on destroying us, as the enemy, as the demon states in his accusations in Job 4. Our God is not here to judge us incorrectly, or to be a big old meanie, or to put us through all these trials and these tribulations on and on and on again. You know, always look at it this way, as Paul states in Romans 8:28, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which says, "And we know that everything, every single thing, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, according to His will." All things mean all things, right? Means the good things, the bad things, the unsure things, every single thing, especially when we are in His purpose, when we are doing things according to His will. Now, if you are out of God's will, if you are doing what you're not supposed to do, if you are being disobedient, rebellious, well, let's just say that you brought it on yourself. Can I say that politely? That's something that you have to deal with, because you have an accuser after you, coming after your lunch. Who wants to take your lunch? Seriously. He's ready to snatch your lunch away. But nonetheless, when we are in God's will, when we are following His purpose, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter the misfortune, the uncircumstance, it does not matter. All these things work together for the good of you and I. So God is not out here looking to destroy us, looking to scare our socks off. No. He's looking to bless your socks off. Several Bible commentaries, including the Barnes, which sometimes I go to find research, to find insight, to expand my knowledge on a particular verse or a person or a region or a time frame. Several Bible commentaries incorrectly suppose that this communication is consistent with God's revelation, but it's not the case. We can conclude from God's stern rebuke on Job's friends that he considered the communication not to have been consistent with his character. Our opening verse here came from Job's friend, and God sterned them actually quite harsh. And I see God's mercy all over this reproof that God has for his friends. And I'm going to close out by this verse here, which is Job chapter 42. Now, verses 7 and 9, please. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, of my servant Job, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up your servant, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." And verses 9 says, "So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job." Several things we see here in the scripture. For one, we see God's mercy. Even though he's livid, he is ticked off with these three dudes. We see God's mercy all over this. I'm giving you guys a chance. You guys just messed up. I should smoke y'all, but I'm not. Something else to consider from these verses. Here's where it says in verses 8 towards, let's call it center part of verses 8. Well, let's start from the beginning. "Now therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams, go to my servant Job and offer up yourself a burnt offering. For my servant Job shall pray for you," right? And then it says, "For I will accept him." I will accept the prayer of my servant, who I accept, who I love, who does not speak nonsense, who watches what he says out of his mouth, who there has been no accusations of him here in heaven, because in the beginning there in Job, the Lord boasts of Job, right? To the enemy, "Have you seen my servant Job?" You see that? Ha! Take that. "Oh, but because of this, it's because he's rich. Or it's because he's got everything. He's famous. He's got a good name in the neighborhood. Because he has a massive family. He's got some good kids. It's because of that. You've blessed his socks off. You take all of that from him, you see his true side." That's exactly what happened. But did Job speak bad about his God? His wife did, didn't she? Just curse God and die already, will you? Right. His response was, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I go back to the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And therefore, because of this nature, because of these words, the Lord here clearly says, I will listen to his prayer. And he's going to pray for you. And I will listen to it. And your sins will be forgiven. Yeah. A lot of preachers do say, they call her the foolish woman. A lot of foolish women are linked to her, to Job's wife. Between a couple other women we see in the Bible scriptures. Carnal women. Women who ultimately listen to familiar spirits. Carnal spirits. And this is the title for this morning's service. Beware of familiar spirits. You know, in throughout our day, we go by our day listening to several different things. Sometimes we might listen to social media, the news, the radio, even company, who you might even consider good company, but also bad company, co-workers, whoever it might be, neighbors, friends. And they might say something, and then that something is plain on your mind. And there is that familiar spirit once again, that spirit of doubt, that spirit of fear, or whatever the case might be, your particular situation. Beware of that. And also know that the main principle, it's good for us to remember that the main principle of interpreting the scriptures is that the Bible interprets itself. The Bible interprets itself. Yes, there are tools that we use, even I use. There are tools that we use to understand the Greek, understand the story and the nature behind the story and everything else. But the Bible interprets itself. You know, essentially then, Eliphaz probably received his counsel from a familiar spirit, totally out of sync with the counsel of the Scripture. And why do I say this? Why do I say that he received his counsel from a familiar spirit? Because of what he said to Job. Because of what his friends mentioned to Job. Job's friends were constantly saying, you're a stinking sinner. You're no good. You're way too proud. Oh, you walk around like as though your stuff don't stink. All these people love you, but they don't really know the actual person that you are, because we know, we were closest friends. And you're not the holier-than-thou character that everybody thinks you are. Right? I can just imagine all these things that his friends could have been saying out of jealousy, because Job was loaded. And some people say he was stuffed. Job was stuffed. And sometimes that causes jealousy in some people. Eliphaz received counseling from a familiar spirit. And that familiar spirit decided to manifest by God's will. God allowed it to happen. This evil being manifested itself before Eliphaz and told him some stuff. Right? And this is the lesson for every single one of us. To be aware of familiar spirits. Be keen to the Spirit of God. Be planted in the Word of God. This is one of the ways that we can keep our blessings. This is one of the ways that we can keep our healing. Ultimately, the Lord hears our prayer. This is how he hears us. Amen? Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Thank you, Lord, for your teaching this morning. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will speak to the ears of all the listeners, Lord, listening to this message. May your name, Lord, be glorified. You and you alone. I pray, Lord, that we will always be in tune to listen to what the Spirit is saying. Not what our carnal mind is saying. Not, Lord, what we think this and perceive that. But, Lord, may we always walk in the Spirit. Similarly, Lord, to John, in the day of the Spirit, in the day that he was in the Spirit, you gave him, Lord, the book of Revelations. You came and appeared to Daniel. And so many, Lord, are the other characters, Lord, in the Bible that we read from the Old Testament to the New. I pray, Lord, that we will always be in tune with you. To not give in, Lord, to our flesh, to our humanly nature, to outside influences, Lord, that are apart from the Word of God. As we always say, Lord, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.